Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, my youth, my young friend, a man who might be a little bit more into, in theory, the stuff that the ESA are planning for this year's E3. Turns out they want to do a reimagined all-digital version of E3 to take place between June 15th and 17th. Now, this it reminds me a lot of what they tried to do at the start of last year, where they were all, you know, all in on the social chits and all the Q-tainment we're going to make it this FOMO thing, this big crazy thing for everybody to sort of, you know, you need to be at E3, which we'll obviously get into. But this comes from Video Games Chronicle, who write up saying that the ESA's intention is to hold multiple 2-hour keynote sessions from games partners, an award show, a June 14th preview night, and other smaller streams from game publishers, influencers, and media partners. The event would be supplemented by media previews the week before, as well as demos released on consumer platforms. All that stuff sounds cool. However, later in the report, they say that they've talked to at least one major game company has confirmed to VGC that they'd rather just do their own thing rather than pay the six-figure sum required to join this E3 2021 schedule. So I think the ESA behind E3 think that they're this like insane untouchable thing, and I love E3 too, but I think they think there's more cash in there than why would you pay a six-figure sum to do a live stream when you could just hit YouTube record and just do it yourself?
Exactly. I mean, like we've done so many videos on E3 in the past, and to be honest, like, the biggest surprise was that I saw this news go up last night, and I thought, oh yeah, E3 is a thing that exists and happens sometimes. I completely forgot about it because we didn't have one last year, and all of the other studios and all the other publishers have essentially adapted and just started doing their own things. And yeah, at this point, it kind of feels like E3, whilst I do love it, I love having that, you know, weekend to look forward to, looking forward to all the press conferences, all the news and stuff like that, it very much feels like a case of E3 as an institution, as a you know, an event, feels like it has this mentality of you need us more than like we need you, and it's kind of like playing the arrogance card, whereas everyone's just kind of like, nah, we don't. We can do our own thing, and we don't need to pay you all this money to do it. We're in the digital age. All the stuff we accomplished at E3 business-wise, on a big publisher level, you know, that's still necessary for like a lot of indies and stuff, and that sucks. But from like the likes of Sony or, you know, EA or Ubisoft or whoever, like, they don't really need to do it, and that kind of sucks because I, like we said, we love E3, we love that weekend. But, you know, this reimagined idea of E3 was kind of called into question before the world went to hell anyway, and it couldn't happen, you know. They were talking about this earlier last year, and even then we were kind of like, really? That's your plan? That's your plan to attract
Yeah, that was why I sort of opened on being like, oh, they're sort of like faux targeting the youth, because it's just like, oh, if we go down all these fancy buzzwords and trying to make this app that you would access when you're standing in line, Q-tainment and all that kind of crap. And it's just like, I mean, I love E3. I grew up with E3. The idea of a big E3 reveal is something that is a mix of nostalgia and something I think is essential to gaming. I like that we have our like gaming Super Bowl where everyone checks stuff out. However, having seen the rise in directs, like obviously Nintendo Direct was the first, and then Sony do their State of Play, and then various different companies like Ubisoft and whoever have done live streams, I still find that that is a nice supplementary version of that feeling, where it feels like, you know, something trends on Twitter, a certain franchise starts being talked about, everyone sort of piles in and checks it out. It's almost like a live version of like a weekly TV show or something. Yeah. And I quite like the idea of spreading the E3 energy across like an entire year. But there is also nothing like E3. I feel like the Game Awards are getting getting a little bit closer. And I think that, but then again, Keely can't help himself taking every deal possible. So that, like, it was a better balance, I thought, at the end of last year. But the 2019 show was just so many advertising deals and hardly any awards. And it's kind of, and he still wants the trailers to show off. And it hasn't really found its specific, you know, format kind of thing. Whereas E3, we know what to expect. It's big demos being shown off for the first time. I guess, like, yeah, what do you think of the, like, necessity of E3? Is there even a world where it's just live streamed and that's it going forward?
I think you could do a digital version of it. I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, so many other industries, so many other events have adapted to be digital. And we've saw even before, you know, E3, you know, couldn't do it. It couldn't happen in person, you know. Like, the Nintendo Directs were obviously, like, a huge success. Sony State of Plays, while starting off quite slowly, eventually got into their groove, I thought, last year. And their big PlayStation 5 ones came out the, you know, caught swinging or whatever. So I think if you did do an all-digital E3 where you got everyone on board, and you did just have this weekend of, you know, like, presses and big trailers to show off and stuff like, that is not really replaceable in its, like, the most pure form, because we've seen a lot of attempts to do it. You mentioned the Game Awards there, but that doesn't feel like it has the same level of impact as E3 weekend does, you know? And even the State of Players or the Directs, they're much hyped up, they're very much looked forward to, but they don't come with the same sense of gravitas or the same sense of industry precision and focus, I don't think, that an E3 weekend does. But maybe that's just the future, man. Like, I think the studios could obviously pivot to a digital future where they're just dropping these announcements when they feel like they're ready. And that might even help the devs, because there's that side of it to think about as well. Obviously, vertical slices take a lot of time away from the actual development of the game, because it's not really just, you know, it's not just a cutout of what they're working on. Like, that takes a lot of time to polish. And to get those things ready for a press event like E3, we've had so many reports about how that's impacted the main development of a game and kind of thrown it into disarray and caused delays and stuff. So maybe being able to show things when they're ready to be shown and when there is a confident rollout of things to push ahead with, maybe that's the best way forward. Like, I can imagine that even if E3 goes ahead this year, like, Sony, I imagine, might not want to be there. They didn't want to be there, like, last year. EA has kind of distanced itself from it, you know. Who knows who else was.
Well, E3's in such a... like, they're in such a weird spot, and obviously there's the reality of what's happening right now, like, obviously directly affects the idea of masses of people being in one place at one time. So it's like E3 or the ESA are kind of, like, trying to roll with a punch. Although, like, you know, we can look to the stuff they were planning even before everything happened, like you said, and it's not like their plan was amazing beforehand as to how to keep E3 relevant in this world of, you know, directs taking off and live streams and, you know, streamers in general being a bigger entity in gaming and something that you can sort of play into. But that idea, though, the vertical slice thing, the demo thing, like, that was one of the biggest talking points that came out of, like, the idea that you could just make everything live streams, is because, you know, diverting the resources away from main development to create a vertical slice of a game, like a separate area, or you siphon some part of it off, just in the modern context, I wonder how much that's even doable anymore. Like, it depends what you're making. But if you've watched, like, NoClip's documentary on Hades, or when Double Fine Adventure did their whole thing about Broken Age, and they just literally, they talked about the reality of, you know, siphoning off a portion of the game and how that just isn't really conducive to this overall sort of goal that you're heading towards, because you have to sort of start making all these separate goals to make a little mini version of the game, which might not even be the one that comes out at the end anyway. So I don't know if they have to adapt in that way as well.
100%. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. It's exactly what I was going to say, you know, because the matter of fact is, in my opinion, that these vertical slices can do more harm than good anyway. Like, it's always great to see what the new Uncharted is envisioned to be played like. But at this moment in time, we've seen so many vertical slices just disappoint. I am hesitant to bring it up yet again, but we saw the Cyberpunk, you know, 40-minute demo. That was, for all intents and purposes, a vertical slice, you know what I mean? So you're setting these expectations of what the developers want the best version of the game to be. But the reality is, like, no matter how good you are, the best version of how you envision the game playing is not what you're ever going to hit. And I feel like all of those vertical slices, for as much as they create hype, only ultimately in the long run kind of create a sense of disappointment when the game comes out, because it's never going to be as good as that. So I would like the industry in general to kind of move away from that, be more honest with their marketing, be more honest with what they actually have to show. Like, don't crunch for a demo that isn't going to reflect the final product anyway. You know, like, it just doesn't seem like it makes any sense to the reality of how big and bloated video game production is in 2021.
Oh man, like, Yeah, I would love it if we embraced more of a, here's what we're aiming for, here's everything in production, like here's the, you know, we've got this logo and we've got these ideas and this is the main character and we've got this much nailed down, but they give you a window into the main game's development. Forget about vertical slice stuff, you know, because yeah, it's cool to have a demo and if the project is small enough and it's feasible, then fine. But I, for me, like, I just think that gaming is lacking that window into how they're made in the first place. It leads to so many disparities on like, well, you showed this feature, therefore it was promised. And it's like, but on the creative side, the dev, the creative lead can be like, well, actually, we didn't think that was going to work out, so we took it out. But you showed it 3 years ago, so where the hell is this thing? And I would love more conversations around games in production and just like, yeah, I mean, maybe it gets away so much from the glitz and glamour of old school, you know, like the big E3 press conference, the production size. You're able to say, hey, it's this big thing, big reveal trailer, and this is what's coming. But I don't know, like, if they cut all of that stuff out and just said, like, look, now over to BioWare, they're working on Mass Effect 4, and then, like, they tease whatever they want to in the same sort of way that you would introduce someone to the project if you were just talking to them anyway. And you can jazz it up a little bit, but you don't have to worry about producing what, you know, quote-unquote final assets. You can just be like, this is what we're aiming towards. We think we're going to include this feature. We'll see how it goes. And just kind of have the video game equivalent of that time we saw Rian Johnson and the Star Wars crew standing on the Acto Island in Ireland just after Force Awakens, where it was like, well, we're going to continue, you know, we're going to go from here and we'll see what happens. For me, that would be enough, but I don't know how much the, like, an audience of like a industry this big would respond to stuff like that.
Well, I think you can have like a nice balance. I think I don't want it to be a case of, you know, copying what EA does, because I think they do it poorly, where they like literally just go to a guy in the audience and he's like, yeah, we're making a Jedi Star Wars game. That's awesome. And then it's like, how's the Battlefront looking? And it's just like a behind the scenes thing of people working on computers. That. And it's just kind of like, well, this is not getting me exciting. I think you can have like a middle ground between that kind of openness and, you know, not just making these kind of like demo vertical slices.
It's a bit like the Sands of Time thing. You know, like the way that the Sands of Time remake was shown off, where it was like interviews with the, or like talking head segments with the dev team, and this is what we're working on, this is what we're hoping for, this is in progress. Obviously, the irony with that example is that it's been canned and delayed, or delayed for now and potentially delayed indefinitely, depending on who you read. But that, for me, is way closer to how you should show a game in production, rather than pretending it's something when it's still years away from being released.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, especially for games that are literally years away from being released. Like, I don't need a demo for The Elder Scrolls 6 right now when it's going to be not coming out for like, what, 5 more years or something, you know, like
20,
something like a, just like a teaser trailer or like a CG trailer, like that's enough to get you in, that's enough to get you hyped. And yeah, if a game's 6 months away, there's no harm in having a big gameplay dive, because chances are that's going to be the actual gameplay that you see. Like something like, you know, Fallout 4, when that came out swinging at Bethesda's E3, and it was like, look, the game's 6 months away. He's how it will play, more or less. Obviously, there's still going to be changes, but it's not kind of an envisioned version. It's like, this is what it's more or less playing as right now. He's the full game. Like, that's cool. Like, live gameplay is always awesome. I'm a sucker for a good CG trailer announcing a game that's quite far away. It's just, you know, using those resources smartly and making presentations that get people hyped, but don't set a level of expectation that's just never going to be matched.
I think it all comes back to that idea of what E3 meant to the industry, which has just changed so much. Like, you would prioritize slicing off a part of your game, because we have to be at E3, we have to pay these crazy fees and make sure that our name is in there along the list of all the other games that are going to be at E3. And I think all that stuff has been completely upended. And ESA's approach to changing that is potentially admirable. Like, they have to try and do something. But last year's was very cringy. Their reimagined stuff now, it sounds good until you get to the six-figure stuff, where you're just asking a company to pay six figures for a live stream, which it just, if anything, you've just reminded those companies that they can live stream their reveals instead. Like, you know, the ESA don't play any part on those companies getting their demos on storefronts, so it's like, you're just the middleman, really, and you kind of always were, but there used to be so much more importance around that. So yeah, I mean, let us know what you think down in the comments below. Is there any future for E3, and what would you have them do based on everything that you've heard that we've talked about? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
I will catch you next time. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.